Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This week in PlayStation, we're talking about our review of Street Fighter VI. We're getting all that and more because this is PS I Love You XOXO. What's up, everybody? I'm Tim Geddes. That's Blessing, and that is Khalif Adams, and this is PS I Love You XOXO. Of course, you can get the show on patreon.com/kindoffunny. There, you can watch us record it live, get it ad-free, and get dozens of monthly episodes of exclusive content. If you have no bucks to toss our way, support us on the Epic Game Store, Fortnite, Rocket League, or Fall Guys with the creator code kindoffunny. You can get PS I Love You for free with ads and without the exclusive content on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and podcast services around the globe. Thank you to our Patreon producer, Delaney Twining. Thank you so much. You're always so good to us, Delaney. Today we're brought to you by BetterHelp, but let's start with a PSN message from you. The PSN message is this, Blessing, from Nikki Loeb. If you could have one PlayStation-owned character added to the roster of a new fighting game, such as Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat, who would you choose and what would be their signature move?
Ooh.
Bonus points for coming up with an alternate costume idea.
Ooh, okay. Damn, I was not expecting this. Okay, this is a lot. It's funny because for Mortal Kombat, my immediate go-to mentally was Kratos, but that's already happened. Kratos was in the PlayStation version of Mortal Kombat 9 that came out back in the day. And so if I'm not going Kratos, I gotta go somebody else who is extremely violent. And I feel like a lot of the PlayStation first party characters... Oh, actually, no. There is one franchise that PlayStation has that is extremely violent, and that is Last of Us.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe, does Joel fit in Mortal Kombat is the question. Can Joel throw hands with Scorpion and Sub-Zero?
I mean, maybe a Last of Us 2 Ellie.
Last of Us 2 Ellie is ruthless, yeah. I think if you give Ellie a shiv and like a machete, give her weapons to rock with. I'm putting Ellie in Mortal Kombat.
They're all about the rope physics in Last of Us Part 2. Maybe the rope, use that to pull people in.
Oh, yeah, that could be like her Scorpion, get over here type move. Yeah, I like that. And then her alternate skin would be Ellie from 2013 Last of Us.
Wow.
You're going to play as young Ellie for her alternate skin, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Khalif, do you have any answers for this one?
Oh, man, I would go Astrobot. Let's go Astrobot. You know, we can flip it and have that character do multiple things, be multiple things at once. You don't have to worry about multiple skins because it can just form whatever kind of thing it needs to in the moment. It's like the all-in-one, both mascot and kind of dangerous weapon that you could find in that larger ecosystem.
That's actually really good.
I would love that. Put him in Mortal Kombat. I want to see that horrible design get fatalitied. Any chance I get blood?
There's no blood squirting out of Astrobot, right?
Oh, like they'll find a way.
You cut off Astrobot's head, and it's just like oil.
Yeah,
oil and water just spurting out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can do it.
Yeah, it's funny because we have seen a couple examples of this. Like, I think Kratos in Mortal Kombat, that's awesome.
Yeah,
we did see it, and I think that makes a lot of sense. But like going beyond that, like we look even at PlayStation All Stars Battle Royale and the characters that were there, or even the characters that weren't there. It's funny to imagine PlayStation characters like fighting together. I guess it would have been weird to imagine Nintendo, but they figured out making that work. But I think applying the Street Fighter logic doesn't work as well for some of these characters, because I feel like Street Fighter, clearly the World Warriors, as they call them, they each have their own unique fighting style and like place they're from. I'm struggling right now to think of a PlayStation character that has like a unique identity that's both location-based and fighting style.
I got you. Spider-Man. Ooh. Peter Parker, hailing from New York.
Okay. I mean, Spider-Man would be great.
Yeah.
I don't know that technically counts as PlayStation-owned character.
Sure.
But
that
like
is a PlayStation Studios like icon right there. Yeah, like that is more of a Marvel or Sony, however you want to count that. But I think if you want to bend the rules a little bit, you put Spider-Man in there. And one, speaking of PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale that I didn't think of, that could work, I think, well in a Mortal Kombat, Sweet Tooth. I think you get that character. You got the vibes already. Mm-hmm. You got the violence of it. And then I could easily imagine a Sweet Tooth fatality that is him getting into his vehicle and, like, just mowing down Scorpion or shooting down Scorpion with guns or whatever that looks like. I think that would make a lot of sense.
Yeah, in the Spider-Man 2 trailer we just saw at the showcase, we saw Miles doing little, like, electro Hadouken type thing, you know? So, like, that could be interesting.
Give Venom Peter in there.
Yeah. A lot of fun options, everybody. Hey, sticking with the fun of fighting games, Street Fighter VI, it's here.
It's here.
And it's our topic of the show. Releasing on June 2nd, Street Fighter VI kicking off what is hopefully going to be the renaissance of fighting games, trying to take the FGC and making it more mainstream than it has hopefully ever been. I think that we are on the precipice of a moment for the fighting game community, for both the people that have been there the whole time and for people that are going to be jumping in for the very first time. I think that this year and next year, we're going to see some people get into Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat, Tekken, Project L, all for the very first time. But Blessing, Ka, both of you, I know, are big fighting game fans. Are you big street fighting fans? Are you big Street Fighter VI fans? We're about to find out. Bless, I want to start with you as the official reviewer here of Street Fighter VI at Kinda Funny. What would you give it on the Kinda Funny scale?
So, you know, you asked a lot of questions there. Are we Street Fighter fans, right? Like, are we Street Fighter VI fans? I am coming into this as the Street Fighter game that I'm trying to put my whole self into, right? I played Street Fighter back in the day. I liked Street Fighter Alpha 2. I played Street Fighter 4, Ultra Street Fighter 4 for PS3 with friends back in the day. And, you know, I've dipped into Street Fighter 3, Third Strike, and other games like that. I've never been, like, Street Fighter's never been my main thing, though. I've always shifted more towards a Tekken or more towards Soul Calibur or more towards Smash Brothers, and there have been plenty of other fighting games that I've gotten more into. Street Fighter VI is the one for me that I am looking forward to, or I have been looking forward to as, all right, this is the one I'm getting into on the ground floor. At release, I'm going to be there. I'm going to play online. I'm going to get real into it. I'm going to get good at it. I'm going to make this my Street Fighter game. Playing Street Fighter VI during this review period, this is going to be, the fun, interesting thing about kind of us being podcasters and us doing our Kinda Funny reviews that are, I'm putting this out at embargo, and my experience in this game over the year and over the years is probably going to evolve and change or whatever, and probably speak to maybe my opinions shifting and changing. At this moment with Street Fighter VI, I fucking love this game. This game, I think, is incredible. The fighting mechanics are so good. They're so solid. From what I played of Street Fighter V and what I know about the reception of Street Fighter V, it seems like in every way possible they have made this a step up from Street Fighter V. The character roster is dope. The content is there. The online mode is, like, fully featured. It has a lobby, and usually I hate lobbies that are run around and go meet people, but I think they found a good medium in there where it is, oh, this lobby is actually really interesting to run around in, right? Like, you can find classic Capcom games hiding in here. You can find a DJ station and play music. You can meet up in the middle and do an avatar battle where you're playing as your created character against other people's created characters. They have found so many ways to imbue a lot of creativity and imbue a lot of fun into the lobby experience. And then that feeds into, like, playing with your friends and discovering new characters and playing as the new characters. And, like, the fighting is there. We're going to talk a lot about the fighting. At the end of the day, though, for this review, again, that is going up at embargo, that is my Street Fighter VI day one review, I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5. And that's a great score on the Kinda Funny scale. I think this game is great. The thing that holds it back from attaining that 5 out of 5 status for me is World Tour. World Tour is a big part of the game. It's been one of the big things they've been marketing for the game. That is the single player mode that is going to take you through hours and hours of exploring the city and meeting characters that you know, meeting characters that are, you know, new, that are made for the mode, going around on the streets and literally fighting people on the streets.
In the name.
It's an idea that I've been looking forward to, and it's an idea that I've been very fascinated with, because it feels like it's coming off of Mortal Kombat Deception and that mode, like, what, playing as Shujinko, playing as this avatar character and running around this world of Mortal Kombat and learning the different moves from the different main Mortal Kombat characters. I really like that mode from Mortal Kombat Deception, and that was me as a kid, right? I'm sure people had so many complaints with that mode in Mortal Kombat Deception, but I look at that with a lot of nostalgia and a lot of, like, oh, I love, like, a weird different thing like that. World Tour for me feels like I'm playing a PS2 mode a lot of the times, right? Like, it feels like I'm playing a thing that was, hey, let's add this additional thing because we got to add this additional thing for people to get into. And I think a lot of the ideas are cool. A lot of the ideas are novel. A lot of what they go for is in the right direction, but a lot of the execution is off to me. The story in Rule Tour is so much of a non-story. I do not care about the moment-to-moment of what's going on in the narrative. There's a gang in the city, and they're doing bad things, but then you also meet a guy that's like a mystery person. They keep sending you texts, and like, it's... I could not care less about what's going on. And then a lot of the dialogue, a lot of the cutscenes feel awkwardly paced. The visuals of it running around in the world. One of the first days I was playing it at my desk, Roger McCourney walks past my desk and is like, "Hey, why are you playing? Are you playing Saints Row?" And I'm like, "No. This is the new Street Fighter. It's not Saints Row." But I think that does speak to sort of the style and how a bit generic it is on the World Tour side. But then, on the opposite hand, the thing that I really do like about it is there are these moments where you meet Chun-Li, you meet Luke, you meet Ryu, and you can adopt them as your mentors, and you get to mix and match their moves and playstyle, and you get to really customize your Street Fighter original character in a way that feels fun, in a way that I think is cool. And, you know, like, the Street Fighter combat mechanics are so good that when you get to those moments in the World Tour mode, it can be fun. It can be a good time, but I think it is watered down by just a lot of bloat, a lot of unfun open world exploration, a lot of tedious menu stuff, a lot of stuff that just doesn't feel like a modern action game. It feels very antiquated in a lot of ways. That said, the reason why I preface with opinions evolving and changing is the fact that a year from now, I'm probably not going to touch World Tour. My Street Fighter experience is going to be so much playing online with friends, playing online with Khalif, playing locally with friends, playing locally with you, Tim. And that's going to define my Street Fighter experience going forward. And so that 4 out of 5 is almost teetering on a 5 out of 5 because I just don't care about World Tour. It's not going to matter at the end of the day, but it's still there. Yeah. That's the thing that sucks about it.
And just real quick, I want to get to Kyle, but just to close out your thoughts here, If it weren't for the World Tour thing, would you give this game a 5?
That's the thing that's also tough, because the bar for fighting games has been raised in the last generation. Mortal Kombat and NetherRealm and Injustice have added in worthwhile single-player content that I think really has made the argument that to reach that masterpiece, to reach that perfect score status, you got to have something that is worthwhile for single-player. If it's not a NetherRealm cutscene-style single-player thing, what is the other thing you're going to add? What is, like, the mode? Tekken 7 had a pretty fun single-player mode that I, at the very least, enjoyed enough to, like, play through it and be like, okay, that was a good time, and then go on to the rest of the game and fucking love that game. If World Tour, in my opinion, was even, oh, it's good to great, but the rest of the game is phenomenal, then I think I could see it hitting that 5 out of 5. I do think that without World Tour, though, there is still a lack of tangible single-player content for the casual player to get into and really enjoy the game when you go online and get your ass kicked, or you play locally and get your ass kicked, right? Like, I still think there you need something there to keep people engaged on the single player side, and I don't think World Tour lives up to that bar. I think even if World Tour wasn't here, I'd still be more on the 4 out of 5 place.
So, Khalif, I want to jump to you. What is your history with the Street Fighter franchise, and what are your thoughts on 6?
God, I mean, I've been playing Street Fighter for decades at this point, from, you know, being in the arcades back home in the Bronx to, you know, getting some games in at the local pizzeria and in the bodegas and fighting people in those places. So Street Fighter as a fighting game fan has been, you know, just a part of my life for so long that I don't know fighting games without it. That being said, it has always been my second favorite in terms of fighting game franchises. I'm a big Mortal Kombat fan. You know, I'm a big horror fan, so I love Blood and Guts. So if Street Fighter, you know, the thing that everybody wanted was that Street Fighter versus or Street Fighter X Mortal Kombat game, I still want that to be a thing at some point. But I think Street Fighter 6, and I want to piggyback off of a lot of the stuff that Bless said, absolutely agree with everything that he kind of shared right there. I think the one small albatross on the neck of Street Fighter 6 is the World Tour mode. And that's only because I think I went into that mode with a certain level of expectations, and seeing and hearing from PR how they adjusted those for me kind of helped to frame what I'm getting as opposed to what I wanted in a good way. I think, you know, getting a chance to jump in and play it and having spent, God, over 30 something hours in it playing it, you know, going up to like level 56 at this point that I'm at, there's a lot of stuff there to potentially see as a good foundation for what this could be. I just don't think that it's there yet. And I think that the thing that you will come across is there's a good balance between, and I think this is what Street Fighter VI does extremely well, which is breaks down a lot of barriers for new players in a way that we hadn't seen before, which was a big thing that a lot of folks worry about jumping into their first or second or third version of a fighting game in terms of trying to be super competitive is, do I feel like I'll be competent? Does it feel like I'm able to kind of play in the ways that I want? And is it newbie friendly in a way? And I think that's what World Tour is really great for. It does this really nice thing of pulling you along aside some of these characters, these iconic characters and new characters, to say, here are some things you might want to add to your moveset. Here are some things you want to learn while you're getting better at this game. And let's do something that's kind of fun with all these kind of like pieces of your avatar that you can then use in things like Battle Hub and in other places, which I think is really, really smart. I wonder and hope, thinking about the future, is how do they kind of bolster that part of the mode, right? Where the pieces of gear that you wind up getting wind up starting to get really repetitive. It's a perfect space to kind of put in DLC. So I can see them doubling and tripling down on, you know, having you pay for certain pieces of gear or having limited time stuff in that conversation so that you can pull that into your Battle Hub character and have it look really cool when you're fighting other people. But for me, the game itself is stellar. The nuts and bolts of what this is. This is the most accessible Street Fighter game that has ever lived. This is one of the most beautiful Street Fighter games that have ever been put out. And it feels like no matter what level of fighting game, prowess that you have, you will find a way to be good within this game, whether that be through differences and changes of control style, will it be, you know, way that they kind of layer out tutorials for you. This is some of the best stuff I've ever seen from Capcom, and all the things that they were worried about and messed up with 5, they fixed 99% of that stuff in 6.
Let me jump off of that. What do you think they kind of missed the mark with in 5, and what are the things that they solved here?
I mean, the biggest thing so far has been online connectivity. Again, we'll see what that looks like when we get everybody on the servers, because they, you know, right now it was only press folks and kind of a small, very small amount of folks in the mix across multiple regions. But that was a huge part of the issue initially, was just the network code. And it felt like they were just, you know, feature incomplete with 5. And 6 feels like they've added enough that will help to kind of bridge those gaps from not only, you know, again, tutorial stuff, you know, secondary modes, you know, them having the nostalgia layers that they have with some of the mini games that you see in World Tour, which is great. And it just really feels like this roster gives you every kind of version of fighter that you want. You have your straight up and downs that are, you know, Ken and Ryu, you have your grapplers, you have a whole bunch of folks who are kind of in the middle. You have a couple of, you know, keep away characters and JP and some other ones. So it feels like this game has something for everyone. And they've already talked about some roster additions that are going to be coming in year 1 that'll even fill out even more of those pieces as well. So I think they're setting themselves up for success in every way that you possibly can. And Lil Wayne. So it winds up having all of those layers together that are in that conversation. So I think folks are going to be really excited on day 1 to be able to jump into the fold and get their butts kicked like I will.
It's so funny because I think you're totally on the money in terms of the character roster and how they do such a great job of filling in these different categories of character types, where we're in a weird way, I've been playing this game for a year, because we went to Summer Game Fest last year. It was there. There was an open beta shortly after, played it. There was another open beta last fall. I played that. There was another open beta that just happened. And then there's been the online. Like, I've been in Street Fighter 6 for quite some time, and I've been playing as Luke that whole time. Luke is the character they added in the DLC for Street Fighter 5. They talked about him being the new generation. Like, this is us handing the baton into Street Fighter 6 and us showing you one of the lead characters that we're going to have for that game. And I picked up Luke, really like how he played, and I did my best to get good as Luke. And by the time we got around to this review period, I've been feeling so comfortable with Luke. I've been feeling, not even just comfortable, I've been feeling like I've been doing a great job with Luke, because I've really poured in a lot of time practicing his moveset, figuring out like when to pull out my overdrives, figuring out like when to time certain moves. Should I wake up with this? Should I do that? And Luke is like, you know, Luke feels so comfortable to me now. I at a recent Street Fighter VI preview that I got to do, I started. They had more of the roster available to me because in all the betas, it's only been the same like 4 to 8 characters. In the preview I did, they had the whole roster available, and so I started playing as different characters. And the one of the ones that stuck out to me was Cammy. I really liked Cammy for her moveset. I really liked her for her playstyle. I really liked her for her character design. I thought Cammy was such a really cool character to play as. And so I was like, okay, this is going to be my secondary main. This is going to be my new main who I'm going to play as. And Cammy, you know, very melee focused, very much about getting around the opponent's projectiles to get in there, very much around about bouncing around on screen. It has a completely different playstyle from Luke. I have been playing quite a bit of Cammy for the last, let's say, for the last few weeks. And man, has it been, it feels like I'm learning a new game. It feels like I'm starting from the ground up, going in and trying to like learn Street Fighter again. And I think that is a special thing, right? The fact that I can pick one other character and it feels like I'm replaying the whole game and relearning how to play this game because their moveset feels so unique to them and their playstyle is so unique to them. And the fact that a few days ago I was playing online, I was playing with the homie Alex Van Aken from Game Informer. He chose this character who I hadn't fought against yet, JP. And I was not expecting JP's moveset. Like, JP's moveset is very much, he's like this, you know, old mystic dude who can summon these portals, like these rips in reality, basically, where he'll like do that and then he does another command and then it'll like send a projectile at you from like behind you, right? Like, you have projectiles coming at you from each and every way. I was not prepared for that. And I didn't know that they had that kind of character in this game. And that wowed me when I saw that. I was like, oh shit, I didn't realize this was here. And so fighting him was a big challenge. Right now, if you're watching the video version, Barrett has B-roll of JP pulled up. And yeah, he's busting out a bunch of different magic coming at you from all these different directions. And it was so fun trying to figure out how I was going to fight against JP. I forget if Khalif was watching that actually last night when I was fighting Alex. Because like, that's the other really cool thing about Street Fighter VI's online and the lobby system. It works so well. And I've already had many moments where I can feel this sense of community. One of the things that sticks out to me a lot is during the original beta for Street Fighter VI, we did it. This was when we were working at home. We did a stream from Kinda Funny doing the beta because we had the closed beta access. And I went into a lobby, and the lobbies have a big screen that show off different matches, people who have like the records going, oh man, this person has 10 wins in a row, like stuff like that. And there was one of those people that popped up on the screen, and me and Mike, who were in the stream at the time, in the chat was like, oh, we should go find that person. And so we find their lobby. I think their name was, I forget their name. I'll say their name was Nate or something. And we go into the lobby. We start typing in chat like, Nate, where you at? Trying to find Nate and trying to fight Nate. And we get a response from like somebody named like Nathan the Great or something. And they're like, oh, that's me. Yeah, he's like, oh, I'm over here. And so we go, we find them, and we start fighting them. And then we realize that wasn't the guy that was on screen. But we fought him anyway, and we're having a good time. And then chat realizes that like that this person is streaming. Like, this person is streaming on their channel. And so like, we go and see, and then we start like having this back and forth with this person, and we're having this moment of meeting somebody else online and having fun with them that feels so natural. Like, a community is meeting. And that was so special because of the way that they've nailed this lobby system, and because the online works so well. That goes back to what we were doing last night, where I just on a whim, went into the U.S. lobby during the review period. They have like 4 lobbies because there's only review people playing it. And so like, I go to the U.S. one. I'm hanging out in there, and there's not that many people. And so I message in a fighting game, like a press fighting game Discord that I'm in. I'm like, hey y'all, I'm about to hop in if anybody else wants to hop in. And so I'm like hanging out doing practice. And then, well, the way it works, Tim, for open lobbies, it's basically an arcade where there's a bunch of different arcade machines. And so I sat down at one of the arcade machines. Once you do that, if you're the only one there, you can go into a training mode. And so I went to the training mode, was practicing playing as Cammy, and then I get a fight request.
Challenger approaching.
Yeah, that's exactly what I get. Challenger approaching, and it's Alex Van Aken. And I'm like, oh shit, Alex, all right, let's play.
That's right. Yeah. So sick.
And so I start playing with Alex, and then we run a couple rounds, and I'm playing as Cammy. I'm still learning Cammy. He beats my ass, and I'm like, okay, let me switch off of Cammy. Let me switch to Luke, because I'm going to beat your ass, Alex. I'm like, yo, I'm not going to let you do this to me. I'm going to switch to Luke so I can actually take you out. And to do that, I had to like leave the arcade machine and go into the menu real quick. But as I left, I look and I see just people watching us, and it's Khalif, and it's other people from the press that I know. And I'm like, oh, we had an audience of friends that were just here hanging out.
So
and again,
sick.
That's the special thing about one, how good Street Fighter 6 is the fact that I think all of us are just enjoying having that experience of fighting against each other. But also, yeah, how good the lobby system is, let alone if you really want to, or not even if you really want to, the way the private lobby system works, if you just want to play with friends, it is menus, right? They aren't forcing you into doing some like bullshit of, okay, you join this lobby, all right, join this lobby at the same time, or you got to find each other. You don't have to do that if you want to play with friends. You can create a private lobby that is just like the menus. You can have multiple fights going on at the same time. You can watch other people play. They've made it so easy. They've like fixed a lot of issues that I think fighting games tend to have when it comes to how do you make a fun fighting game to play online with both strangers and friends. They've answered for so much, and I think it's been such an incredible breath of fresh air playing this game, coming off of other fighting games that tend to not get that thing right.
So Bless, you're maining Luke. You're trying to second main Cammy.
Yeah.
Kyle, I want to know who you're maining as. But first, here's a word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. It's so easy to get caught up in what everyone else needs from you and never take a moment to think about what you need from yourself. I know this from experience, how often it just seems easier to care about others and to keep it moving. But when we spend all of our time giving, it can leave us feeling stretched thin and burnt out. Therapy can give you the tools to find more balance in your life so you can keep supporting others without leaving yourself behind. Some of my very best friends use BetterHelp and love how helpful it can be for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find more balance with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/kindoffunny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/kindoffunny. Now, Kyle, who you made?
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
I have so many folks on my roster right now. I'm a person who, after having learned that, having gone to Evo last year, that you need to have people in your pocket, I am not a Ken in Ryu main. I've given up on those characters because to me they're kind of boring. But right now I'm rolling through JP, I'm rolling through Cammy, I'm rolling through DJ. Marissa is really, really fun as a brawler. She's one of the newer characters in there. Big Amazonian woman rocking it out, doing her thing. I've been playing mostly DJ because DJ just feels really interesting to play as a old character that's come back and is kind of reimagined in that way. So I'm playing a ton of different folks. And to again, piggyback off of what Bless said, what happens is what is so cool about not only the lobby system, but the way the characters are kind of built out is that you can just go train for a minute. And if you're like, oh, I just got mopped up, I was watching, you know, Bless and Alex play, and I was like, okay, I know Bless has been rocking a bunch of Luke. I know Alex has been playing a bunch of JP. What's a counter here that I can go lab really quick, figure out which ways I can kind of get into this matchup, and then within that space, get my little bread and butter combos together, have that kind of in the back of my mind, and then jump into a match immediately and do that. I like to play a variety of different stuff just because I know that someone has a counter for me in so many different ways. I played a really good Jamie the other night, and I was like getting my tail kicked as JP, That character is just way too fast to play against JP, who's very much a zoner and putting you out. Switched to DJ, and then moved around a little bit more and understood the footsie's game and understood spacing a little bit more and was able to kind of catch that person off guard. And that person was kicking my butt 11-1. I wind up flipping it when I switched to DJ and was beating that cat like 8-2. So it winds up then switching up the way you think about, not only the way you want to kind of go into the fight, but then you have those small moments where you're just like, I understand this matchup a little bit better than I did before because I had a couple of moments prior to me going into that match to lab it. And that's just a fantastic part of the way that this thing is set up, so that you can do all of those small kind of mini adjustments while you're in the middle of a match or right after the match or in between while you spectate. It's brilliant stuff. I think it really has replicated what old school arcades felt like, but even better because you have a space to play while other people are playing and not have to wait. And it's so good that that's a part of what Street Fighter 6 is bringing to the table. It's real good.
Yeah. I think they've done a pretty good job. Also speaking to people that are casual coming in for either the first time or coming in and not being a Street Fighter expert, being a Street Fighter, like esports level player, right? Like, having the training mode available is awesome. Having the modern control scheme, I think, works really well. I don't love that they try to kind of force you to use it at some points, like in the World Tour mode, and you have to use modern controls in the first chapter, which I don't like. Again, I get that that mode is trying to speak to casual people. That mode is trying to speak to the people that are coming in and don't want to get their ass beat. But I would have loved to be able to actually use my classic controls from the get-go, because I just didn't like that.
Can you talk a little bit more about the modern versus classic controls? Because you seem kind of down on it for you, but like, do you think that the way that it's implemented in the maybe not the World Tour mode, but the actual fighting game side of it, like, do you think that it's a valuable...
I'm not even down on it for me, right? Like, it depends on the character. And that's the thing that actually surprised me when I was playing. I went in all the way thinking that, I'm only going to use classic controls for all of the characters. That's the way I've learned how to play fighting games. That's the way I played Street Fighter already. Why would I ever use modern controls? And then what surprised me was there was one match that I played as. I was trying out different characters. I was trying out, who was it? It was one of the charge characters. It might have been Chun-Li.
Guile or Chun-Li.
Yeah, let's say it was Chun-Li. And I went into the match, and for a lot of the characters, for all the characters, unless you like change the default setting, modern controls are what they default you to. And so I start playing this match online, and I realize that I'm playing with modern controls. And I'm like, oh no, I didn't want to do this. Ah, shoot. And I'm playing as Chun-Li, who's a character who I don't know how to play as anyway. And the thing with that is I suck at the charge moves. Like, I want to get good. I'm playing King of Fighters 15 last year. I tried my best to like actually learn these things. For whatever reason, I'm just bad at them. And so I whiff half the time. But I start playing as Chun-Li, and I start pressing triangle to throw out specials. And I was like, oh, actually, I can kind of get used to this. Like, I'm actually now putting up a fight as Chun-Li, not having to worry about these inputs, right, that are so precise that I'm having such a tough time actually doing. And I was actually able to fight a good match as Chun-Li, and I've never been able to do that before. I think for me with charge characters, I'm going to be a modern controls person. That's how I'm going to go about it, right? Like, I'm going to save the classic controls for the Lukes and the Ryus and the other characters that I feel good about, and use modern for those ones that are tough to execute. And I think that's the beauty of it, is the fact that for people who don't know about the modern controls, they're basically this revamped control scheme where you're pressing one button to do these the special moves, right? Usually that they would be, you know, hold back forward square, forward back circle or whatever.
More Smash Brothers-esque.
Yeah, like the modern controllers feels more Smash Brothers-esque, easier to pull off. And, you know, it's the seeming reason why they're trying to make this transition into modern controls is to speak to the ease of getting into the game, right? But of course, they're keeping class controls there because that's the history of it. That's what people are already used to. And I think the balance works. I think it's going to be good for a lot of people coming in for the first time. I think it's going to be good for if ever a Greg Miller wants to play Street Fighter. But, you know, I'm sure for so many people, the complaint is, it's just too deep. It's too complicated. It's like too much. Being able to go in there and go, it plays like Smash Brothers. I'm just pressing one button to do the specials. It makes it way more approachable for so many more people. And I can see more people getting into Street Fighter because of it.
What are the trade-offs for modern controls versus if you're playing modern versus somebody playing classic?
Mm-hmm. I'm curious what Khalif thinks about this, because I for me so far, I think the like having the variety of moveset available. I've not played enough of the modern controls to really glean if I'm not able to pull anything off, but I already know all the stuff I can do with the classic controls, right? It's easy. It's, you know, light punch, medium punch, strong punch, right? Light kick, medium kick, strong kick. And you can do those in each and every way, and then also have the different forms of all the special moves, whether it's the OD move or whatever. I don't know if you're able to pull all that stuff off with modern, but Khalif, have you had experience trying to figure that shit out?
Yeah, so the biggest difference between modern and classic, besides just the actual like button commands, is that you lose a little bit of ability to do combos as you would if you were doing them in classic version. And that all comes down to frames, that all comes down to button input, that all comes down into those small buffers that you're going to be doing within a combo string and that kind of stuff. You lose a little bit of variety in there and kind of access to some of that stuff. And they've talked about that not only, I think, either on the blog, or you've seen a lot of folks who have been in the FGC on the kind of content creator side talk about the limitations of what that is and why you wouldn't be able to kind of fully compete in that way. My hope is that we go to a major tournament at some point, we see somebody rock somebody, yep, who's using modern controls, and then you just find out at the end of that match that person's like, I was on modern controls and still won. Like, that will be the cool moment that really, you know, validates what this thing is. But I think in the grand scheme, this is a great thing for the fighting game community, and I hope that to a certain extent other games adopt something like this. I think one of the conversations around so many of these games is about accessibility, right? It's about how many people can play these games. How do you grow the FGC in a much bigger space? Because if you think of all the spaces that are esports ready, fighting games have been the kind of, you know, weird stepchild that have never really gotten their sun, even though they are the easiest to understand and the one of the biggest, most diverse spaces in the gaming industry. So it winds up being this interesting conversation about, like, how do you pull in more people? How do you make more people feel competent? And if you're not trying to go to Evo or to Combo Breaker or something like that, and you just want to play and be and feel good about your playtime, how do you do that? This is a really good bridge to the uber competitive and the folks who are kind of not just fully casual, but like want to feel competent when they get into the mode. This is like a perfect thing for my wife who has like issues with like multiple buttons on a controller. She's like, I see six buttons and you just threw this into the water, like throw this into the lake. I don't know what to do with this. But now she can be competent if she really wanted to play a fighting game with these kinds of controls. It's great to have it. I think it's really smart. And I used most of that for my world tour playthrough, to be honest. I didn't switch to classic on that. I played pretty much all of it on modern controls.
Wow.
Because it did a lot of those things of like, I am not great with charge characters. I don't want to have to deal with that. You know, for most of the time that I was playing, when I had to fight a really, you know, dangerous enemy, I would map out certain moves that I knew were really easy that I could buffer really quickly to those buttons that would be the easiest. So like, if you just hit triangle, I would do a Hadouken. If I would hit down in triangle, it would do an uppercut. It would do all of those things because I knew that those are the moves I wanted to get out the fastest to get through certain levels of the mode. So it wound up being really helpful for a lot of those conversations about where I was playing, how I wanted to play in the moment, and, you know, what I was trying to accomplish. I would not use it in competition, though, for me.
One thing I want to throw in here for conversation is talking a little bit of the nuts and bolts of the changes they made to the fighting system, because the big new addition they've made is the drive gauge. And that then lends to like familiar mechanics, like the OD stuff, the overdrive stuff, which you power up certain special moves and like it takes a bit of that gauge. But then you also have drive impact, where you press a combination of buttons. On my controller, it's mapped to R1, and you do this big move that is armored that will hit an opponent and stun them for a period of time. And that seems like one of the biggest additions on the actual fighting mechanics side, because that has shifted many matches for me, right? That has changed the momentum, because you can bust it out of anywhere, right? Especially if you have, if you have, you know, gauge filled up, you bust it out. And in order to counter it, you either have to do a drive impact move back, which takes real good reflexes that I've far from mastered it. Mitchell Saltzman has mastered it and has used it against me. But you either have to do that, or you have to get a certain amount of hits on the enemy as you're doing the drive impact to like knock them out of it. Khalif, as somebody who has been playing quite a bit of Street Fighter over the years, right, and is coming into this one, coming off of that last one, How are you feeling about this new drive gauge system?
I love the drive gauge system. I know a lot of folks were really not excited about the V trigger system in the previous game. They had a lot of issues with the way that played. I think the most interesting and fun thing about the drive impact layer of this is how professional players are going to use this.
Yeah.
I think it is going to be wild to see how many matches are won or lost using this thing. And it's going to be cool because, you know, there's multiple layers of how it can impact a match. So one of the coolest things is, you know, usually you would have to block a whole bunch of hits to be able to get a person into a kind of staggered state. Now, in the way that this works, there isn't any chip damage that happens unless your drive meter is fully depleted and you go into the stage called burnout. So you wind up having, you flash kind of gray. You're on the play field, and at that moment, then you can take chip damage from the opponent. So meaning, even if you block, you're still gonna lose your health. That plus the way that you can basically bounce a character off a wall, yep, and then start a combo, it changes the way you think about your positioning on the level. It changes the way you think about health. It changes the way you think about moves that you want to use in the moment. So it winds up, you know, depending upon what kind of character you like to use, fully change the way you're thinking about your tactics in a match. And it can be the thing that not only puts you in a really advantageous position, but also can put you in a state that's going to get you mopped up, which is, again, feast or famine kind of thing that you haven't really seen in a Street Fighter game in a very long time. I think V-Trigger was one you knew people are going to be able to use very offensively. I think this has a lot of offensive and defensive uses that will really kind of just change the match for anyone in that conversation. I think this is also one of those kind of features within this game that will really play well to people who are in the casual space, because it will turn a match for them instantly. Yeah. And it's a thing that you can throw out. If you're not fast enough, you're going to get hit. If you're not blocking it, you're going to get hit. So it's really cool. I love the way that they've kind of put it in there. And I think it's going to change the way we think about Street Fighter moving forward in a big way. I hope they don't change it for whatever 7 becomes down the line either. I think they need to keep this in there to get people accustomed to it, so they have an idea of what this is supposed to be for the future.
You know, I'm really interested in that aspect of this, because out of all fighting games, like, I'm a Smash Brothers guy. But yep, in terms of more traditional fighting games, I'm a Street Fighter guy. I can wrap my head around it for some reason. It works, makes more sense to me than Mortal Kombat ever has, or Tekken, or things like that. The gauges and drives and triggers and focus attacks and all that stuff that they added over time has, I feel, been overwhelming. And I feel like the mm-hmm. thing that's kept me from really being like, I'm a fighting game guy, because it's like back Street Fighter II, the original type stuff, pretty simple. Maybe you get one bar that you get an ultra move or a super move or something like that. With where we're at now, I feel like that is the make or break difference between the people being like, yo, this is a long-term game that we're going to play as a community and all of that. Sounds like you guys are so far feeling the drives in this game. Does this feel like it is going to be the new standard for fighting games? Like, do you think Street Fighter VI, with these mechanics and stuff, is going to be at like the one of the core Evo showcase mm-hmm. titles for the next 5 years?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like Street Fighter VI is going to be on the main stage real hard. Besides the fact that Capcom is throwing $2 million into the pot, which is automatically going to get everybody into the fold. This is going to bring in everybody who used to, like, my grandmama used to play back in 85. She's going to be coming back to try to get some of that $2 million. I think the beauty of the fighting game community in the FGC is that games within their ecosystem last forever. The only reason that they don't wind up playing anymore or stop playing them is that either a bigger or better game has kind of come out, or there isn't enough people kind of playing it. But even then, they have side pots. They have side games that are happening at competitions where people are playing stuff that they were playing in the early 90s and still being competitive for. So I think besides the actual like additions of these features that are in this particular game, this has the most legs, even early, that I've probably seen in a very long time, because they have addressed so many of the issues that were in the previous games that people from the fighting game community, the most, you know, staunch people who are like, we need this to be in here. They've addressed so much of that stuff in here that it can only get bigger in the way that it winds up coming to the table. So I think they've done a really smart job of landing all of those conversations. Now the only thing they have to worry about is how do you get more characters into the system? How do you bridge out some of the modes that we talked about? That's like World Tour. How do you kind of, you know, keep the carrot on the end of the stick and make people want to touch that? And then, you know, what other kinds of layers do you add to the pot for the community that's really competitive? I think those are going to be things. And if the online layer of it doesn't break,
oh my god, something
they can play for a decade and easy.
That's the big thing for me, is the fact that this is the Street Fighter that I think is going to bring Street Fighter back in the biggest and best way possible. We've been talking on KFGD a lot about like the fighting games that are coming up, and like, oh man, when is Tekken going to come out? Is Tekken going to be all right releasing around these things? And recently on a KFGD, I was talking to Greg about the fact that like, yo, I've been underrating Tekken 8 in terms of staying power, because earlier in the week I was looking online, looking at sales numbers, looking at popularity and stuff, and the last Street Fighter sold 7 million, right? And it was a PlayStation exclusive. There's reasons that leads to that, versus Tekken 7, which sold 10 million, right? And even going before that, Street Fighter 4 sold around like 3 million when it was all said and done, and Tekken also sold like 3.5 million. And so they've been like more comparable.
It's closer than people think,
but we still talk about Street Fighter with this reverence. We talk about Street Fighter like it's the main character, even in the wake of Mortal Kombat, which we know is super popular, which we know in terms of sales, you know, is going to run away with it. I think it is the best selling fighting game franchise when you're talking about franchise numbers. Even in the wake of that, Street Fighter has a respect and has a reverence and has this hardcore fighting game community love for it. And I think that comes strictly from its history, and that comes strictly for what Street Fighter II on SNES brought to the table. And I think that is actually going to go, that's going to bring a lot into what we see Street Fighter VI do as well, because, you know, their sales target for Street Fighter VI is 10 million. I think this is going to blow that out of the water. I think it's going to outsell that by possibly a lot. And that is the fact that Street Fighter V wasn't great, right, for a lot of time, right? Street Fighter V took a lot of DLC to get where it needed to be considered, okay, this is actually good now. Street Fighter VI, I think, is going to come out, and people are going to love it. People are going to like it on the ground floor. Of course, there's going to be critiques. There's going to be balance stuff. All that stuff is going to be there. But I think people are going to like this way more than Street Fighter V. And I think on the game mechanic side, and on the marketing side as well, on the marketing side, they've been killing it. On the game mechanic side, to your question, Tim, in terms of, is this going to set the tone for, or set the standard for fighting games? Is it going to set the standard for Street Fighter? I think it's going to set the standard for Street Fighter for sure. I think the overdrive system is going to be excellent. I think to what you're talking about in terms of being even a Smash person, and this game, speaking on a mainstream level, the drive system, I think having it just be a press of L1 and you have this big animation and the like the cool effects coming off of the back of the character, that feels like an arcade mechanic. That feels like almost like a party game type mechanic, but it's implemented in this way that still feels hardcore. It still feels like a thing that's going to make a big impact on the Evo moments that we're going to see later in the year. And yeah, like, this is going to be the main event at Evo. This is going to be the main event at possibly multiple Evos. And at this point, I expect the same thing to happen with Tekken 8 as well. And I expect the same thing to happen with Mortal Kombat. I think Street Fighter is the like first step into this new standard for fighting games. But yeah, I think we continue to see this over the year as well with Tekken 8 and with Mortal Kombat. I think all these games are going to be excellent. And yeah, like, I think we're going to see fighting games be more popular than ever. I think, yeah, like I said, Street Fighter 6, I can see it way outselling its $10 million target. I can see Tekken 8 also selling more than Tekken 7, right? Because that's how the things go. And so that's going to be more than $10 million as well. Same with Mortal Kombat. Like,
oh, yeah.
We're entering a new era, and it's very exciting.
So we're going to wrap up here, Ka. If you have any final words on this, and my other last question for you, do you see yourself playing this every week for the next what?
Oof. I mean, I'm already missing it. Already, you know, and that was the thing I was telling Bless before we started the show today, was like, you know, in between this review period, you know, we had a chance to play on the online servers and have some of those moments where we were playing together and against each other, and you know, they shut those servers off, and I'm thinking about it right now. I'm like, man, I want to continue to play. I want to figure that stuff out. Like, this will be a game, depending upon, again, I have to preface this with my big MK love, and, you know, seeing the back of my with my rug, but it's like, MK is my main game. It will always be my main game. But I think never before have I been this invested in a Street Fighter game this early, knowing how good everything feels, knowing that the characters feel really, really, really competent, knowing that I can feel competitive in a space. Because I was with you, Tim, with that conversation about, like, there's too many things going on, and I feel like I'm being overwhelmed by the minutia of things that I have to pay attention to. And now that I understand how those systems work, it is a much more kind of easy space to get into than the previous versions of, in terms of the way that those how those features kind of worked. Now, I'm definitely going to be in every week. Like, I'll be getting some games in. And I think it'll really depend, too, again, like, how many of my friends are playing this. You know, I'll get in and play online against randoms, but the most fun that I'm going to have is going to be playing against people who are, you know, a little bit over my skill level so I can learn, and people who are at my skill level so I can feel like we are, you know, one for one kind of feeling in that space. So it's like, I'm going to be in this thing for a lot. Like, I'm going to be playing a ton of this in a real way. I think this is, again, the best Street Fighter that I've played in a very long time. I'll use the KF scale. I'll give it a 4 out of 5 too. And I think that this is not only one of the best games, I think this is one of the most important games for Capcom this slate. I think this is going to also leverage them up in a way that we haven't seen before. I think this is going to leverage up the rest of the fighting game community before, because it was a really small moment when outside forces were looking at the FGC and saying, how do we kind of infiltrate this space? You remember, they had Street Fighter tournaments on ESPN2 for a little bit. There was a time where that stuff was happening. I think a lot of those conversations are probably going to re-spark themselves as well to see, like, how do we talk about the FGC and build this up again to kind of give it that same level of prominence that we see in the esports spaces, like a CSGO CS or a League of Legends again. So it's going to be a real fun time for the fighting games.
Bless, any final words on this?
Yeah, I mean, this is the Street Fighter did it, right? Like, the thing I was looking forward to was for the Street Fighter to be the one to fully pull me in and make me a big Street Fighter fan. And I'm a big fan of Street Fighter 6. And yeah, I plan to play this game for as long as I can, right? Like, I'm hoping that this takes me all the way to Mortal Kombat, and that Mortal Kombat takes me all the way to Tekken, if depending on which one comes out first, obviously. Like, I'm so excited to, like, I'm so excited for the actual release of this game. I'm with Cobb that I already miss it, right? Like, online seems to be off until the actual game comes out now. And so, yeah, I can't wait to get back in there, start my ranked journey, try to get better and better. And I think it's going to be a blast once this game is out for everyone.
Hell yeah. Cobb, where can people find you? And thank you so much for joining us for this episode of PS I Love You.
Oh my God. Thank you so much for having me. It's my first time on PS I Love You. So I'm excited to be here and rocking with y'all. Again, you can check out all of my work at twitch.tv/spawnonme. Check us out on Spotify. We're doing some really fun stuff over there. All podcast platforms around the world. And definitely come check me out at khalifadams.com, because I'm looking for work. So help a brother out. Put
Hell
me in the streets.
Yeah.
Make it happen.
Go check him out. And stay tuned to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. All of the different podcast services. Search for Kind of Funny. And then just subscribe to anything that sounds interesting, because you're watching PS I Love You right now. But over on the Kind of Funny Gamescast, in just a few short hours at 9 a.m. Pacific, Diablo 4 review is going down. It is review season. It's announcement season. It's just video game season, everybody. So stay tuned to Kind of Funny, whether it's live, whether it's at your leisure, watching, listening. We thank you for all of your support. And until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.